Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you for, live from here, you know, Midland, Michigan. East Coast, near the East Coast of Michigan, North Coast of America. I might have stolen that from Dr. Brown, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, because sometimes when the pulpit down there at the river at Tampa Bay, sometimes when he comes up there after he prays and everybody sits down, while everybody's sitting down, he's like, well, I want to welcome everybody to the River at Tampa Bay Church. You're at the stand. And then I'll say, and then every once in a while I'll say, West Coast of Florida, East Coast of the United States. I think it's kind of funny how he does that. But I want to thank you for tuning in. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're listening at work, driving on your way home from work, or driving the kids to maybe practice or something, or maybe you're on spring break somewhere, be at a beach or at an amusement park or just visiting family or friends, whatever, if that's what you're doing this week. Whatever you're doing, I'm so glad that you have tuned in to the broadcast tonight, wherever you may be on this planet. Last I knew, we had people tuning in on all of the continents of the earth in one show. We had people tuning in on all continents of the earth, North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, and Australia, Oceania, Australasia, you know, whatever name you call that land down under. But nonetheless, wherever you are, whatever time zone, we're glad that you've tuned in. Okay. Now, so we often talk about miracles. And there's all different kinds of miracles. And this show is called The Miracle Man Show. And when we launched the show back in July of 2017, me and Preacher Man decided on the name The Miracle Man Show. Some of that had to do with the fact of seeing so many miracles in my life. It also has to do with the fact that I believe in miracles. I believe in the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. I believe in the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. And just wonder all you listeners, how many of you have seen a miracle of any kind in your life? Whether it be a miracle in the form of a financial miracle, a healing miracle, something to do with your mind, maybe a miracle test maybe a miracle at school. Maybe you passed a test that you were so worried that maybe you wouldn't pass it, or you didn't think you would pass it. And then God helped you and you passed it. There's all kinds of miracles. You know, things being... But you see, the greatest miracle of all is your soul being saved from hell, from having your destiny changed from hellfire to heaven. And my mom's with me, and when she comes out here, I am going to ask her a couple of questions about a miracle that took place. I'm going to ask some questions about a miracle that took place this weekend in the life of a family member of mine on my dad's side. And so I said all that, what I was saying about, you know, miracles and about how I believe in the miracle working power of Jesus, and about, you know, how when this show was launched, we called it the Miracle Man Show, because I believe in miracles. I've seen many miracles in my own life. But as I was telling you listeners literally a minute ago, the greatest miracle there is in your own that you can have is not your blinded eyes being opened. It's not your deaf ears being healed. It's not your mind being restored. Although all those things are wonderful, marvelous, miraculous, but the greatest miracle of all is your salvation. Having your destiny changed from hellfire to heaven. Because let me explain something before I ask these questions. But you know, ask a couple questions and have her explain some things. So Jesus said that you have to be born again. I read you in that chapter a couple of shows ago about how a man, of course, or a woman, must first be born of water, and then they must be born again. You know, accepting Jesus into their life as their Lord and Savior. And so he explained that. The requirement is that there is only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. It's not through roller skates. It's not through all these other little things. You know, hikamons, two shundais, 10 sit-ups, 10, you know, 10, 20 sit-ups, 5 push-ups, you know, any of that kind of stuff. That won't work. That stuff won't work. What it is you got to give your life to Jesus. Amen. And I have a powerful story about my grandpa on my dad's side. He had been a Hindu. He's from India. For 70 years. Mm-hmm. 70 years. And he had been practicing Hinduism for 70 years. And so I'm going to ask her few questions about that. So, Mom, I understand that my dad's father, or as I like to say, or as I refer to him, my grandpa on my dad's side, I understand that he had been a Hindu, and I also understand that Hindus, they claim that there are hundreds of gods. Is that right?
Yeah. And some very angry. Some of them very violent, very like storms and reincarnation, and things like that.
Well, so that's some pretty wild stuff if you think about it. And so, like, they have all these different gods, and the thing with that is the Bible says that we shall have no other gods before the Lord Jesus, as we see that in the book of Exodus, where they're at the mount and God lays down the law for Moses and for all those people, and they're all there, and one of those commandments is thou shalt have no other gods. And so I understand, Mom, that multiple times Grandpa Shukla had said the prayer, but he didn't necessarily fully convert.
In the past?
He had more or less just
You know, he had went to church, but this is the first time, Rivers, that he actually asked Jesus Christ to be his own Lord and Savior.
Oh, wow, that's awesome, because I remember there were multiple times from when I was about 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago that my Grandpa Shukla and Grandma Shukla came up here to visit us, to visit my family. And what would happen is Grandma Shukla wouldn't really come to church, but Grandpa Shukla, he would come.
But then Grandma got born again first.
After she was the one who wouldn't really come.
Because Jesus showed up when she was laying in bed with Parkinson's disease and could not move her own body, Jesus showed up and sat on her bed one day. And from that day on, she told everyone, I am a Christian. And she believed in Jesus and said the sinner's prayer. And she was so happy when she was on her deathbed. She was smiling to go in the arms of Jesus Christ. And her funeral was so peaceful.
That's a beautiful thing, listeners, when you hear about someone's soul, someone's destiny, being totally changed because They were not on the right road. In fact, let me tell you something. Both my dad's mother and my dad's father had disowned him multiple times when he married my mom. They had went as far to disown him.
And also when he became born again.
And then for both of them to go from completely and utterly, totally disowning their son to first she decides to get born again, and then now he decides to get born again. Hey, folks, my dad didn't do that. I didn't do that. My mom didn't do that. Monica didn't do that. We all might have had it. We certainly, you know, we we all help in that, and you know, try to be a good influence, but and everything. But Jesus did that. They decided that they did not want to be on the same road that they were, that they had been on. Because had they just decided to stay as they were, my grandma on my dad's side would be burning in hell right now. She would be burning right now. And my grandpa, he would be headed in the same way. But guess what? Not anymore. Because he decided to turn his life around and pray the sinner's prayer and to get saved. And so, but you see, once you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, the thing is you can't just say the prayer and then decide, okay, this doesn't really have an effect. I don't need to change. I can just keep doing what I was doing. Oh, well, you know, after you accept Jesus Christ and as your Lord and Savior, you know, you can learn, you know, you learn the ways of God. And that's why after you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, that's why being a part of a church becomes so critical for you there. Because just like a baby needs to learn, you know, when a baby is born out of, let's say it in a way that you can understand it. When you were born from your mother's womb, you didn't come out fully potty trained. You didn't come out knowing how to eat, knowing how to drink water, knowing how to this, knowing how to do that, knowing how to speak. You didn't come out knowing all that stuff. You had to be taught, had to be trained by your mother, your father, your brothers, grandma, grand, you know, the different people who, you know, that were your aunt, uncle, people who were there to nurture you and throughout your development. So just think about that. So it is with when you become born again. So obviously you should learn, you know. Oh, Christians do not go about living this way. They don't go about, you know, worshiping all these other gods. As Christians, the Bible tells us to worship one God, not our God and all these other gods. In fact, as I've said multiple times on the show, anything you put in front of our God is an idol. And furthermore, we need to stop this motion of Jesus plus. What do you mean Jesus plus? Jesus plus this other stuff. Jesus plus family. Jesus plus sports. Jesus plus work. Jesus plus all these other figures. Jesus plus. What about Jesus, period? I remember someone being in my church about 20 years ago, and I don't remember the whole sermon, what all he preached on, but he had mentioned, I remember this kind of vividly, actually. This guy mentioned that it ought not be Jesus plus all this other stuff. Jesus plus. It's supposed to be Jesus, period. Like, that's the only one I serve. Not Jesus plus. Because do you remember that, Mom, when I'm not sure what pastor it was, but that was preached from our pulpit. Do you remember that kind of sort of?
Yeah.
And he was making it sound like when it becomes this whole thing of Jesus plus, that's not good.
Right.
And that is supposed to be Jesus. Now, obviously, we live and all this other stuff, but Jesus should be the thing, the one that you love the most. He should be. He created everything. He created the heavens and the earth. And so, obviously, if my dad had not decided to get born again, it took my dad 5 years for him to get born again because after people first started talking to him, because my dad was born in India, moved to the States when he was 8. And for a time, as a teenager, my dad was not necessarily on a good road either. Drugs and that, short of being in gangs, but even though he he had friends who were in them and stuff, that's a good way to say it, just short of, right? Like, that's what I said, but you know, God freed him of all of those things. He didn't, it wasn't just him saying, well, I don't like the road I'm on. You know, he did that, but, you know, but then he decided with his own volition, you know, he wanted to be right with God. And so if it wasn't for my dad at that young age getting born again and saved in 1995, none of this stuff with his sister, his mom, or his dad would have been possible. None of it. Because someone, a laborer, was there in his path. And so, because not everyone is blessed to just have a Christian home. And before you had me, and obviously, and it could be easy for people to think, oh, we're always, you know, born again since we were like 2, 3, 4 years old. Not always. In order to have that testimony, you have to be brought up in a Christian home to be able to say you were born again at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, young age like that. I had that, but my mom, she had been running away from God, had not been in a church in 11 years. And then in 1988, finds out that she's pregnant, and then decides she needs help. She goes to Open Door. They tell her about a church. And that leads to a salvation. Because had she not gotten saved, I would be dead right now. I can guarantee it. I'm not gonna try to bet on it or anything like that. I just know for sure that I would be dead right now. And so don't think, folks, that this salvation thing is just, oh, no, it's the greatest miracle that there is. Yeah. And it can be, and when you get saved, you shouldn't just go, okay, because it can be easy, you know, once you learn the thing, once you learn, you know, and as the years go by, and we'll say, you know, you're doing, well, you're supposed to be, you know, we'll say you're doing good at attending church. You keep it that way. You know, you read your Bible, you pray, you do what you're supposed to do. Even if you're doing you know, going through the motions, praying in tongues and what have you. What you don't want to do is suddenly take your salvation for granted and then just be like, well, it's not just something I do because it's what Christians do. So don't you ever take your salvation for granted. In fact, it should be something you can be proud of. If you're in your church and your pastor said shout, your salvation is a reason to shout. It is.
Yes.
Because had you not been saved, you could be on your way to hellfire. And this had just really been on my heart. So I was taking a few minutes to kind of discuss this. And my prayer, listeners, is that if you're not right with God, or if you don't know, by not right with God, I mean two things. Either one, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never ask him into your heart. Or two, maybe you knew him. Maybe you know him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe he is in your heart, but you may have walked away. I know he's my Lord and Savior, but my own way, my own, stuff. If you do that and you just desert, and God has for you, and if that's you, you should repent and get right with God and rededicate your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're a third person and maybe you've asked Jesus into your Lord and Savior. You have asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And maybe for the most part you've been right. Or maybe you just don't have, you're just not where you were. Maybe you've kind of cooled off a bit. Maybe you don't necessarily read your Bible that much. Maybe you don't necessarily, you've kind of become kind of lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, God has serious problems with that, because he said, I would that you were cold or hot, or because you were lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And if you're one of those, you know, lukewarm, where you could warm it up, rededicating your life is a great way to help bring that fire back. Because when it's the last days, the last day, it's time to be on fire for God, not just be kind of, you know, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And I want you to be right with God. If you're not right with God, you can get right with God. And so, because I want to see you make heaven. I almost said I want to see you make it, but the thing is that would have not necessarily been 100% accurate. Because what I meant by that is I want to see you make heaven at the rapture. I don't want to see you miss the rapture. Because who knows? Jesus didn't say, he said that when he comes, it'll be an hour that we don't expect it. It's going to be an hour that we don't expect it. Church doesn't, right now, there are people in the body of Christ that accept it, but not necessarily all of it as a whole. And just recently, a couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, my pastor was preaching in Florida, and I had heard that particular part of this, message where he said, well, you know, around, you know, late 1999 going into the year 2000, there were pastors, there were believers who thought, well, Jesus is coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's... And Dr. Barclay had basically told him, no, he's not. He's not going to come right now because you're expecting, because of the amount of people that are expecting him to come. Now I was a 10-year-old at the time, so I was probably in children's church. But did he stand up in the pulpit and tell LWI, Jesus will not come at midnight of January 1st of 2000? He said the reason it will not be then is because way too many were expecting it. But at the same time, he was like, it is still the last of the last days, but however. Like, there was a silver lining then. Like, it, and maybe he might have not said it, but he was like, and even months before, didn't he say, like, but he was like, that was more so weeks before that he actually said that, like, after Christmas, like, days before. And he basically said, well, like if he comes now, it'll be before the 31st. Like that kind of thing, kind of. But it won't be on that certain day. Like, it'll be before it or it'll be after. But when people are expecting it, he won't come. Nonetheless, you got to be ready, because he's not going to say, folks, in about 3 weeks, the trumpet is going to blow. And I want you all to be ready. Now repent of all what you've been doing. Those of you who have been living right, just keep it up. I'll be there in a couple weeks. the Bible doesn't say that. But I'm sure there's people that might think that. That might think, oh, it'll be on a certain day when this certain things happen. When this certain thing. Like, and they'll be like, I'll just watch the news and see if this certain thing happens on a certain date. But folks, that's why you got to make sure that you're right with God, that you know that when the time comes, that you'll be going to heaven. Because tribulation comes after the rapture. And folks, you do not want to be here for it. You do not want to be here for the tribulation. You think the earth's unpleasant now? Be ready for after the rapture if you don't make it. Because it'll be a whole lot worse. And so you got to be ready for it. And so, I want to remind you real quick about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been, all the miracles he's done in me. You even have some of my mom's testimony in there too, which makes it kind of a bonus, you could say. Oh, in a way, it's sort of a two-for-one, you could say. when you get this thing, buy this, get that thing free. Like whenever you see that, like whenever you see the little package when you're going through the store, you know, it says buy, and you have the BOGO thing, and it's sort of like that, but it's full of testimonies and different things that the Lord has done. And I thank God for his goodness, because if it weren't for God, I would not be here right now. My mom would probably be dead because of what you were into. You'd probably, you would have probably died. And but God. And people can say, oh, willpower, willpower, willpower. Willpower only gets you so far. And then you lose it and you slide backwards. But you can go online, buy the book, let the book be a blessing into your life. And I'm believing God for more and more and more and more people to buy these books. So because people are going to be like, oh, it's about the money. Oh, it's about the souls. It's about people. It's about people, not just about them hearing the story, though that's good, but more importantly, it's about people being saved, having their lives transformed, and having, being, their destiny changed from hellfire to heaven. That's what it's ultimately about. And so, I always pray over these books that it gets, that more people read it, and not only read it, but that after they read it, they go ahead and pass it on to someone else so that they too can read it. They can be blessed by it. All right, I'm going to sing couple songs real quick, and then I want to get into the word of the Lord. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody love me like Jesus, because he's my friend. He's the healer of my body. He told me to run on, he healed my body. He told me to run on, he healed my body. And he told me to run on, because he's my friend. He's the way when there seems to be no other. He's a rock that is higher than I. He's a bridge over my struggle. Jesus is a friend of mine. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. He saved my soul. He told me to run on. He saved my soul. He told me to run on. He saved my soul. And he told me to run on, because he's my friend. He's a way when there seems to be no other. He's a rock. Yes, that is higher than I. He's a bridge over my struggle. He is a friend of mine. He's a way when there seems to be no other. He's a rock that is higher than I. He's a bridge over my struggles. Jesus is a friend of mine. I can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. Come on, he's my friend. Come on, he's my friend. Oh, some of you right now, some of you maybe going through some things. But But no matter what it is you're going through, Jesus is right there. He's right there. He pulled us out of the miry clay. He's the bridge over your struggle. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's not just, you know, sitting there on his throne being, okay, I wonder what the... No, he's there for us. Jesus said, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. He didn't say, call upon the name of the Lord and I might not hear you. He said, call upon the name of the Lord. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm going to sing one more song and then I'm going to open the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. And I believe it all. Healing is here. Healing is here, yes, healing is here. Oh, I receive it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Yes, it is. Freedom is here. Oh, I believe it. Yes, salvation is here. Salvation is here. Yes, it is. Salvation is here. Oh, I believe it, yes. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Oh, I believe it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is here. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Oh, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Yes, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, I believe it. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us tonight, what you are to us. Lord God, we've set aside time to come and tune in, not just specifically to this broadcast, but to tune in to you, because I know, Lord God, that your presence is here right through, coming right through into these people's homes, vehicles, wherever they're listening at, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer. You are the Savior. You are the God that loves us. No one loves us the way you do. You loved us enough to heal us. You loved us enough to save our soul, to heal our minds. Thank you, Lord God, that sickness is leaving these people right now. In the name of Jesus. Depression is leaving these people right now. Oppression, poverty, debt, lack. All of these, all of these spirits, all of these demons and the spirits behind them are bound right now. I take authority over these things, and that these things are done messing with us in your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus, we are free, healed of the Lord, fire baptized, blood washed, bound. We're free, delivered. And Lord God, I thank you for this time we have left in your word. Thank you that your word just permeates into us and that each one of us learns tonight something about you that maybe we don't know, maybe we don't understand. Thank you, Lord God, that as we enter into your holy word, that it will produce fruit. And Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for that you use my voice to deliver this word, that you use me as your oracle, and that these people's eyes and ears, that their ears are ready to hear the word of God, that their minds are receptive, and that take the blinders off of our spiritual eyes so that we can see more clearly. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that you're doing that in us tonight. And now I thank you right now. I make my confession. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come in. I thank you, Lord God, for the huge amount of souls coming into this kingdom as a result of this program. I thank you for the huge amount of souls that are coming into these, into this kingdom, your kingdom, Jesus. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Shall we make our confession? Oh, yeah, we should. We shall. This is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I can have what the Word says I can have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. It is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. You got the Bible with you, just kind of wave it a little bit like the little fanny thing and make the devil mad a little bit. Oh, the devil does not like it when we open up the Word of God. Jesus says, not that. Praise God. Go with me to John 6. We're going to go to verse 1. I had skipped down a ways last night, listeners. You listeners may recall that because it was a long chapter, I wanted to get to the point. And then we had also looked at the end of John, verse John 7, where it talked about how Jesus is the bread of life. And that if we are thirsty, we come to him to drink. You see, well, I did it that way, Mama, because I did it that way because they're so related. But for tonight, though, John 6, and I'm going to begin with verse number 1. And I would tease and say if you have this certain version of the Bible, it is on page 1244, but I don't know. But please God, John 6:1. If you're not there, go ahead and catch up. Sometime after this, meaning referring to the events of chapter 5, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this question only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of green grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish as well. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets of the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now we're going to read only one more passage, and then we're going to talk about this. When evening came, the disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were terrified. But he said to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Wow. Wow. So you see here, folks, these people were wanting to follow Jesus. We've seen you do some great things. And they're like, you know, we want to see more. We want to see more. We want you to keep preaching. We think you're awesome. Now, there were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and obviously unbelievers, but there were other people who were hungry. They were so hungry. they were essentially in revival mode. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
Because Jesus was on the earth, so they were, because they were in like revival mode, they were determined. They were going, however they had to get there. They were just going to go wherever he went. And so these people are there, and he asks one of the disciples, you know, how do we buy bread for these people? But Jesus knew in his mind what he was going to do. But he was asking, and he was asking him as a test. And, of course, Andrew's like, we don't have enough. Basically, we're already saying, it is going to cost us a ton of money, 8 months' wages, in order to feed them.
Wow.
Yeah, in order to feed them all a bite. He didn't say a sandwich. He said a bite. Which I think kind of meant quite literal. And so Jesus says, he has in mind you know what he's going to do. And then another disciple says, there's a boy who has some bread and fish. That was supposed to be his lunch. Jesus used that boy's lunch. Now I'm sure he made sure that boy had some left over too. But there was enough food to feed all of those people. All of those people. And it didn't just go, excuse me, I'm full. And it just, and all of a sudden it just flies through the air and what happened. No, it doesn't say how it happened. Just multiply. The bread and fish just multiplies. That's what God wants to do with us. Multiplication of blessing, where suddenly it just becomes a cycle, and the blessings just keep coming.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say vicious cycle because that's bad. So I just said a cycle. As you follow God, do what he tells you, and you keep believing God, things keep happening. And as long as you don't break hedges, as long as you don't, allow the devil to just come in and do what he. But these people, they had enough to eat. In fact, there were 12 baskets. And I don't think they were these tiny little baskets either.
No. Huge.
They were like these big giant containers. Like we could even call them like industrial containers even. I imagine.
Yeah.
Full of broken pieces of bread and fish from people that are like, okay, good. And they had, he said they all ate and were satisfied. He didn't say they all had a bite. Like 200 people maybe had a bite and all the rest of them didn't get any food because there was only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because on its own, that wouldn't feed no 5,000 people. That would feed very few people. The majority of those people. But, like, only some. And you just, obviously Jesus blessed it. And then he and the disciples, and you see, in this case, it was like the disciples were like the ushers. Like in the church, like how you have the ushers. And he had the greatest ushers you could have. He had some of the greatest ushers you could have. And these ushers just went around handing out the food. But they were, and those who had seen that miracle take place, they were just so in awe. And then they go into this boat. They go into this boat to go to Capernaum. And Jesus, you see, with his disciples, no, they go on. They get in the boat. He's not there. He's sitting there because for a little while he's sitting there, you know, greeting people, talking to them. You know, and I'm sure maybe even laying hands on some of them. But don't you imagine that's part of what he was doing while he was still there for a few hours? I'm sure he was laying some hands on some people, possibly even some sick folk. You know, they were getting healed, delivered. And then he went to them walking on water. They weren't walking on ice. Do you remember when there was these people that that flaky doctor and pastor mentioned it from the pulpit of the Living Word Church, that there were these people that believed that he was walking on ice?
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
But he addressed it because it was so, he addressed it because even though it's funny, at the same time it's so dumb. Realizing that most people can walk on ice. It's called ice skates. But he was walking on the water. And some of those disciples are sitting there on that boat, and they're like, what? Because first of all, it's windy. You got like a big like hurricane type thing. And it's super windy. And they're like, first they're afraid because of the wind. Then they see someone walking on the water, and they get all afraid. Even though they had been walking with Jesus, they still got afraid. There was still fear. And some of them, and because they saw something to them that was not necessarily familiar. And they just thought, you know, until they see someone walking around, like, oh no! They're all like, we already got all this wind, and we're trying to navigate. But now you have this too? And they're like, what? And some of them are like, oh, it's like 3 a.m. Can't we at least just lay here and go to sleep? But then he comes, gets in the boat, and he says, it is I. And he tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For whatever reason, right there, they decided not necessarily to trust in him. The Bible says, there are verses that say, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust and not be afraid. He basically says, that means he's basically saying the same thing twice. And it's not like, and people might say, oh, he's not at a, he might be sort of illiterate, maybe thinking he needs to repeat the same thing twice because otherwise people won't hear it. There must have been a reason why he said it twice like that. He wanted to make sure people get it. Because when people are afraid, they get anxious. And so he had to do that to make it that clear. Well, when you're afraid, you trust in the Lord. You trust and not be afraid. Because faith, and you know what faith is? Faith is trust. That means that when you're afraid, you should trust. Because they can't live together. They will war against each other, and it won't be pretty. And so, it's not like Jesus caused that wind, but it was there, and they. But then you see what happened after that was they get to where they're going, and then there's only one boat that's gone, not two boats, because Jesus had walked on the water and got in their boat. People got in other boats and went to Capernaum searching for Jesus. They were searching for Jesus because they wanted more. I'm sure some of them, maybe some folk, I'm sure there were some Sadducees there and Pharisees that were trying to follow him. And maybe there were just, some other trolls. You know, like how you might be on YouTube or Facebook, and I'm sure, you know, that, you know, during, you know, like during example, during the COVID shutdown when people weren't really together in church, you know, which by the way, that was, yeah, I pray to God that never happens again. But during that thing, you know, people, so many churches would stream their services. And sometimes in some churches, you might have a troll or two. People who might come there on the stream, and maybe on the YouTube or on the Facebook, write a comment, like going after the pastor or whatever, just trying to troll. You know, just trying to be negative for whatever reason. Most of the people that were looking for him, though, they had good intentions. They weren't necessarily trying to troll, but there were other people when he fed the 5,000. Like, obviously, my Bible even said, basically that they were making these comments in their mind, like, that basically means they were trolling. Is that a good way to put it? Like, they were trolling.
Yeah.
Like, they were just, obviously they were there, so some people might have thought, oh, they wanted this. They were there to hear the, but then it turned out they were trolls. Which, I remember even watching Dr. Rodney Howard Brown throughout that thing, and sometimes he would even mention, would be like, man, the trolls are out tonight. Other times there wouldn't be hardly any. And who knows why it was how it was. The one time we were in his church, he even addressed one of them when they were giving that car away.
Oh.
Remember that, Mom?
Yeah.
And they were addressing, like, and they were like, why don't you give away cars to different parts of the congregation? Why only those near the front? like as if the guy knows where all the people are sitting. Like, it's not like it knows. Well, it's not like all these cameras go deep. And he's like, well, yeah, we give. But anyway, you see, these people, they wanted.
Yeah.
They were hungry for Jesus to the point that they would be wherever he was, and he in all kinds of weather, rain or shine, because in order to have thousands of people, they didn't necessarily have all these large churches that seat 5,000, 10,000 people. And I imagine that most of these synagogues couldn't even hold 500. You doubt it, don't you?
Yeah.
I imagine some of these were literally 100 seaters, maybe 150. like they were literally. But these people did whatever they had to do. They were like, we're going to do whatever it takes to hear what he has to say, do what he's going to do. I'm sure Jesus preached in the rain before, I'm sure. So, but then again, it's not like, I'm not sure that Israel gets tons and tons and tons of rain. If it did, something tells me he would have still preached in it. And thunder, lightning, I don't know. I'm sure he would have. And if there were any wild occurrences of extreme rain, maybe that would have been in there. Like when it was raining when he was trying to preach. We've had that happen in my church when Dr. Barclay was trying to preach. And because it was raining so hard, for a second there, it was like he was struggling. Remember?
Yeah.
Actually, it was like he was trying to take the offering, trying to mention something, and he's like, well, can you hear me okay? Or something like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then most of us are like, well, we still hear you, Pastor. But regardless of that, I was like, these people were just hungry. And I pray that we would get that true hunger back to where we're not always looking at our watch to see what time it is.
What? No.
But people, because there was a day where in church people didn't always do that.
Right.
Obviously now so many people, it's their phone, but now it's like some people are just, that we would actually just get to the place to where we really want him and not just at that certain time that it's convenient because that's like just always what we do at this time. Because otherwise people can just be like, I'm hungry based on convenience. Convenience hunger. I wonder if that'd be a thing, you know what I mean? meaning I'm hungry, but only because it's convenient. But we should want him. It shouldn't just be a chore. We should be zealous, hungry for him, not just say, you know, well, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. After all, I am retired. Retired? Some of you who might have retired. Well, what about retirement? And rather than may God use you more than what he used you. May God use you more than next 3 years, 5 years, whatever, than what he used you in the previous 30, 40 years. May he use you for whatever it is that he wants you to do. Because you're not supposed to retire on God. Even though you might maybe at some point retire from your career, that doesn't mean you retire on God. And just say, But the fact is we should want him and not just feel like, oh, it's a chore. I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I really should pray because I just know I should, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I have the time. If you're hungry for it, if you really want it, then you make it that way, like if you really have something you desire, you try to make it happen. As opposed to just, that's how it should be with Jesus. With the things of God. If you really want him, what he has for you, you meditate on him. And the Bible says, I meditate on his word. I meditate on it. And it doesn't come back void to me. And it's not just specifically the word, it's the God of the word. Because though we, you know, we know the word of God, not the word of God, we serve the God of the word. And I love it when Dr. Barclay has said it. He said it a couple different times in the last year. And it's awesome when he says that. And so, he is, I'll just check my clock. But anyhow, you see, it's the logos. You know, it's the written, majestic word of God. And it's just kind of funny to me that when Jesus, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they're like, what is that? And in one of the other books, they're like, it's a ghost. They, rather than saying what is, they actually said, it's a ghost. But because they were that afraid and wouldn't trust. And then Peter had even said, well, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He should have been able to know who it was. As they like to say, put a name with a face and a face with a name. My eyes are going to see what that means, but I say that because I've heard that so many times. You know, put a name with a face with a name. Yeah. And that's how honor can see. You know, identify someone. But Peter, maybe it was just because he was so scared or something, but he couldn't necessarily tell. But maybe thought, well, it might be you. Maybe the voice kind of sounds familiar. And then he says, well, Peter, it's me. And so Peter just, you know, comes out, but he says, well, I'm about to sink. And then Jesus just grabs a hold of him. And he's like, come to me. And because after all, Jesus is our comforter. Some people could say he has the goods. He has it. Like, that's why he said, we read last night, why it said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and have a drink. Come to me. And drink my water and eat my food by, you know, doing the things, you know, being obedient. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this word. May we get this word on the inside of us. And not only keep it on the inside of us, but may we be those who do it. Do it. Not just be those who said, well, I heard it, but I'm not so sure I want to do it. At that point, it's just like, because the word alone only produces death. But through doing your word, Jesus, it produces life. And I thank you also, Lord God, I thank you for that wonderful testimony that we had about my grandpa. Thank you, Lord God, for souls of people being saved. For these people who may be listening, who might have been set free of things, healed of things. Maybe they were set free of addictions, set free from sin, set free from bondages and vices and all these things. As you are the deliverer, the healer, the burden bearer, thank you, Lord God, that you do always make that way for us. When there seems that there is no way, and when it seems like all options have been used up, but you are the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, a truth, a life. And I just thank you, Master, for you are just there, that you're just working on the inside of us. And I thank you for your safety and protection upon us as we go about. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple of days, you see, the men's basketball tournament will be starting up very soon. And as I said, Michigan and Michigan State are both in it. And then you have like 9 teams from the Big Ten in the Big Dance, a.k.a. the tournament, NCAA basketball tournament. And then, so, that's what I have for sports. And until next time.
So long, everybody.
Thank you.